hear me? Thank you. Thank you. How y'all doing tonight? Good, good. I tell you, I'm proud of our system. I am. And we got good quality audio and video around here, and that's what we're striving for. So thank you, Brother Randy, on that. And hope everybody has had a good week so far this week. I guess it's a choice if we have a good week or not, isn't it? And things are not always going to be perfect. And so this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, got some good news to share with you. Some of you seen it on Facebook. I texted some others, but we preached opening chapel today at Grace. And I want to tell you, God moved in a big way. He moved in the preaching. This is my seventh year preaching there, seventh calendar school year. I've never had most all the kids and teachers clapping their hands and standing to their feet while preaching. I've never had that in that school ever. They were on board with the message. They were in it. I looked at a couple of them when I was preaching. A couple of middle schoolers were like this. but the teachers, they were. Some of the high schoolers were standing up, both arms in the air, raising, praising the Lord. It was an amazing service this morning. And I preached to them on this subject, starting off the school year, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. And so service was over, and Brother Dakota came down, and he gave an invitation. And I went to the back just in case anybody came. And then after he gave the invitation, a girl was walking, and I was thinking, well, she's getting ready to walk out the back door, you know, go to the bathroom. She came to me. She had tears in her eyes. She is in the 10th grade this year. I know her very well. And she said she wanted to get saved. She experienced true conviction. I'm talking about tears. I don't want to go to hell. I'm tired of the way I'm living. I want to receive my purpose. And so we went through the Bible, Romans Road, and man, I was dripping sweat from preaching, and I was dripping sweat being nervous. I wanted to lead her the right way, and so we did. I said, just pray after me from your heart. She says, I want to do that, and so she got saved, gloriously saved this morning. She knew it. She went back and told her every class she went to that day that she got saved. And then another girl came up. And the pastor's wife was bringing her up and says, hey, this one wants to talk to you. She wants to get saved. And I noticed that she had been crying. And she sat down, and I said, what brings you to this point today? What do you want to talk about? She says, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want my life to have purpose. And she says, and then she started to cry. She said, my little brother was in the hospital earlier this year, and I thought he's going to die, and I don't want him to go to hell. I don't want my mom and dad to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I want to receive Jesus, and then I want to share it with them. And she was almost squalling. It was amazing to see God work like that. I opened my Bible, took her to the Romans Road, asked her to pray after me if she liked her own words. She said, after me, from her heart. And that girl, I said, Romans 10:13, right here, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, do you think that includes you in that whosoever? And she was like stunned. She was like, and she smiled and said, yes. I said, so based on the word of God and what you just did, you are saved. It is settled. You are going to heaven. God is going to reveal his plan for your life. And if you ever doubt it, go right here to Romans 10:13, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. And so we experienced something great this morning. And I tell you, I was on a spiritual high all day. I wore myself out. I skipped breakfast on purpose. I walked 2 miles around my neighborhood. I dropped, I just started going into a couple stores, looking around. I was trying to come down because I still have to function. Had to study for tonight. And I even stopped in a car lot. I was looking at cars. I think, oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? I ain't got no money to get no car. And I was just feeling so good, and I'm just so grateful to God that He did that. And I just wanted to share that with you tonight. What a blessing it was this morning at Grace. All right, so what about you? You have something to share tonight? Got a prayer request? It's on? Excellent. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's Jan Frady. She comes to the Jubilees, don't she? Yeah, I thought so. Anybody else? Let's see. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Cassie. Bless her heart, Carlene. I've heard of quite a few people getting sick recently around, so let's remember Miss Carlene. Anybody else? I'm trying to hunt down a message right quick. Connie Norton, we'll continue to remember her in prayer. She's eating better, she's doing better, sodium levels are normal. Possible rehab, then home, Trail says. And so that was yesterday. Continue to remember Miss Dolores and her heart condition. She says her heart is just not pumping as strong as it should. That's why she fainted back at the lake in her camper and hit her head. So remember her on that. Leonard did go on Monday for his immune therapy, and he did go on Tuesday for his port. So it was in that order. And he's doing okay. They put him back on some light steroids. I know he didn't react. His body didn't respond that well to it the first time, but they have him back on there. But from here on out, he'll be doing the immune therapy every Monday except for one Monday, which a holiday falls on that Monday. So it's going to be that Wednesday. But from here on out, Ms. Dolores says, for the rest of his life. So they should be doing a checkup a few months away from now, I believe, on where he's at on everything. And so just remember that, if you would. Their week-to-week, week-in, week-out deal, and his immune therapy treatment. Anybody else? Well, the teenagers are at the movies tonight. And Brother Brian reached out today and said there's a good Christian movie playing, and he'd like to take them all. And so that's where they're at. The younger ones, the little ones, are downstairs. Miss Christie is teaching them. But so they're going to the movies in Hiram, and should be over around 9 tonight. And so I'll be going there picking up Lily and Kristen. But appreciate Brother Brian doing that. Something different, something good. And so just remember that. Just remember, let's see, tomorrow is the 8th, is the ladies' prayer brunch. Is that right? 11 o'clock. Remember that, if you would, ladies. And then on the 18th will be CLU/deacons meeting at 3 o'clock. And, of course, the 25th, CGT fundraiser. Calvary's Got Talent. So put on your tap dancing shoes and get ready. I, Justin Hales, will be your host. And so I'm going to have my bow tie on and everything, C-Lon. But this will be a great time for us to just, you know, as a church, just have a good time together for a good cause. And so remember that. The goal right now, the last time I checked, was $3,000 for the paint job in here. I want to get back with Brother Carl on that. I don't know if that was the ceiling included. I'm just not really sure. So I'll get some clarity on that. But we're just trying to inch our way, completing the job that we feel God has put in our heart to do. And so just remember that we'll do well in our fundraiser and keep moving forward. I'm a little in the air right now about outreach this month. So that's kind of pending right now. And it's pending for not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the 17th. I'll probably get back with you at the last minute. I apologize on that. I'm trying to juggle a few things around. And so if we don't have many show up, that's fine. But I do want to go back to the soccer field, Brother Jeff, Miss Sharon. We had success there a while back when we very first started. I'd like to hand out some more Jesus hats. I'm going to pick up some soccer wristbands and headbands to hand out to the kids. Last time we were there, Jehovah Witnesses were there. And I think we ran them off. So, hey, if they're there, the real thing needs to be there, and which is Christianity. And so let me get back with you on that, if you don't mind. And again, on the 15th of next month, we'll be homecoming, 10:30 a.m. I'm getting ready to nail down a singer, and so hopefully we can get them by love offering. And so remember that, Brother Snyder preaching. In fact, Brother Snyder called me today, and he's about 100 miles from home. He was in South Carolina, and Hurricane Debbie was moving through, and he was laughing. So he was doing okay, but we were talking for just a minute. But just remember him, his last 100 miles home. He's finally in clear weather, and so I called and checked on him just a few moments ago, and he was about 150 miles from home, so business or something like that. All right, anything else to mention? All right, are y'all thirsty to see the Lord move again like he did last Sunday? I am. And then today, my goodness, just hungry and thirsty for the Lord to do something great. And there's one thing I know, he blesses effort. He keeps showing that and showing it. It is etched in my heart. As long as we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, he's going to send the rain and put your umbrella up and wait. Okay, because it's coming. All right. Well, all that would, let's gather and pray. And Brother Jeff have a song, I'm sure, shortly after. And so, and then we'll bring the lesson for tonight.
to do a little medley tonight with the harmonica. It is Sweet Hour of Prayer in the Garden, and It Is Well With My Soul.
Appreciate the medley there, Brother Jeff. Appreciate it. Again, it's good to be here tonight and midweek prayer meeting service. And I'm going to be in the Old Testament book of Judges tonight, chapter number 8. Judges, chapter number 8. I'm going to look at one verse. And that is verse number 4. Lord, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we are so thankful for the sweet hour of prayer. Any time with you alone, undistracted, plugged in, so much, Lord, we get from. That's why we're here tonight, Wednesday night, gathering ourselves together to uplift one another, share our burdens, share praises, connect with you through your word. I pray that you'll do that tonight and encourage us. And Lord, help me be a blessing to your people. We love you tonight. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Judges chapter number 8 and verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. That's our one verse tonight. I want to call your attention to three words toward the end of that verse. Faint, yet pursuing. And that's my title tonight, is Faint, Yet Pursuing. Anybody here faint tonight? Anybody fatigued? You can be faint or fatigued physically. You can be in need of rest. You can be faint, fatigued mentally, in need of mental rest. You can be faint and fatigued spiritually, in need of spiritual rest. Sometimes you can just be faint and weary in all those three areas at one time. That's a rough place to be when you're faint physically, mentally, and spiritually. And the truth is, tonight we all get faint, no matter how young or old we are. We all get faint in one or three or all of those categories. I'm thankful for our trip to Florida because I really got refreshed. That's pretty much our one trip a year, and it was just something different about this year. Christy and I said we're really going to leave things in Powder Springs. And honestly, this is really the first time ever in our marriage we've been able to do that. I mean, because we both care about what's in Powder Springs. She cares about her job. I care about mine. We care about family situations at home. And it's hard to let go of those things and just not care for a week. Am I right about it? So this was really, I'm sure there was a trip or two during the process. We're going on 20 years of marriage this January, coming up January. But this trip, we really just let things go. I mean, we enjoyed ourselves. We got refreshed. Our air conditioner went out on the Highlander on the way back, and it didn't really even bother us because we enjoyed our trip so much. I'm just giving that to you. I'm not poor mouthing myself. I'm just saying that we had joy on our trip. And the air's fixed in Highland, by the way. So all that worked out. Thank you, Brother Tim Ledford, down there working with us. But we need to be revitalized at times. And so tonight I want to use this thought, this idea, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Faint yet pursuing. I just want to encourage you to keep going forward. Keep going on. Keep coming to church. Keep worshiping the Lord. Keep tithing. If you're tithing, continue tithing. Keep praying. Keep asking God what His will is. Yes, there's opposition. Yes, there's challenges. No, everyone will not agree with you 100% on everything. But don't let it knock you out of the race. Keep going, because I want to tell you, good times are coming. God has a way of blessing just at the right time and the right amount of blessing to keep us going, doesn't He? I want to tell you that I enjoyed last Sunday morning and last Sunday night. I enjoyed this morning. God has rained on my heart, and I appreciate that. And it goes back to Florida, talking with Mike. I just texted Mike today. Mike from Memphis. I mean, I don't even really know the man, but I just feel like that I should text him. I texted him and told him I was praying for him, and he said, "Man, thank you so much." I mean, a man going through depression in Memphis and trying to take care of his family, you know, just he himself is faint, yet pursuing, trying to continue to do what he's supposed to do. And so let that be us tonight. Let us just keep moving forward. Let us encourage one another. Let us esteem the other better than our own selves. Let's ask God to keep on blessing us in particular, and then let us come in here Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, and even in our daily lives, just ready to pour into people. And so that's what God wants to do. So three things tonight about this. I want to look at the setting of Gideon. I want to look at the story of Gideon, condensed version, and then the stability of Gideon out of this verse here. Now, I've got 3 points. My first one's small, my second one's medium, and my third one's large. And so whatever size that fits you tonight, you will get it, okay? Small, medium, or large. I don't have any extra larges tonight or double X, okay? So that's the long and short of it. The setting. What is the setting here? The setting here is that the book of Judges follows Israel leaving Egypt, going into the promised land, the Exodus. You know, by the hand of Moses, leading them out of Egyptian bondage. We have all of the miraculous events God did, the plagues, the dividing of the Red Sea. And then Moses died, and then Joshua took over. And then Joshua led them into the promised land. And now we have judges. We have judges that are protecting God's people, keeping the enemy out. But this Exodus from Egypt to the promised land, Canaan land, is certainly a picture of salvation. And that is how God changes our directions in life. And God changes us on the inside. Therefore, we are a people that is coming out of the world, not trying to be like the world, coming out of the world, being separate, and trying to enter in into our promised land. Not talking about heaven, because the true picture of Canaan is the Spirit-filled life that is enjoying the salvation that we have. And so Israel was on an exodus from Egypt to Canaan. And we are on an exodus from our old life to our new life that we have now in Jesus. And that is trying to enjoy the salvation that we have. The book of Judges covers over 300 years of battling. They're out of Egypt. They're not in bondage anymore. But now they're battling. Over 300 years of battling in and around Canaan land, involving various leaders, and one or judges, and one of those being Gideon. Now, this is a picture, these 300 years of battling inside of Canaan and surrounding areas is a picture of, or it represents staying in the promised land. If we are going to continue to enjoy the presence of the Lord, be used by Him and have peace and all of those things, then there is going to be a continual battle for it. We are not battling for our salvation, but because we're saved, there's a battle. Life wasn't a battle before you got saved. I tell you, life wasn't a battle before I got saved. I mean, I went anywhere I wanted to go. I smoked what I wanted to smoke. I drank what I wanted to drink. I stayed out as long as I wanted to stay out. Didn't have a job. I was a high school dropout. Nothing. Not a care in the world. Now it's a battle. Now there's responsibility. Now there's a desire for holiness. Now there's this exodus out of the old life and into the new. And there is definitely battles in the Christian life. And so that's the setting here. When it comes to Judges chapter number 8, we have all of these things taking place. Gideon and his men are battling. And the Bible says they are faint yet pursuing. And so that's the setting. Now I want to go a step further and look at the story of Gideon. A little bit of background on him, and I know you've all heard this time and time again, your entire salvation span, but we're going to say it again. But Gideon was the reluctant leader. He was reluctant. I say that because God found him in hiding mode. The Midianites were in the land. They were besieging the land. They were taking everything in the land, everything everybody had. And Gideon was in the wine press, and he was threshing wheat. And he was trying to savor some resources for himself and potentially his family. But he was in hiding mode because he was doing it not in the open, so to speak, but in a secluded area. He was on the side of a mountain, and he was there by himself doing that, trying to gather resources so the enemy couldn't take it. And yet God saw a leader in Gideon, even when he was in hiding mode, even when he was reluctant about being a leader, the Lord showed up and told him, said, "Thou mighty man of valor." You know something always encouraging about the Christian life and God's word and how heaven's point of view is compared to our point of view? There's a principle here. Gideon, he didn't see himself a mighty man of valor. He was experiencing fear. He was experiencing weakness. Yet God showed up and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, you are going to deliver Israel." And Gideon's like, "Me? Deliver Israel? How can this be?" And he goes down the spill. "I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the run of the family." You know, all these things, giving excuses, just like Moses did. But that was Gideon. He was the reluctant leader. And God saw a leader in him, said he was this mighty man of valor. Thank the Lord that he sees in us greatness. He really does. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. I think a lot of Christians are not living up to their potential. We have the potential to do anything God wants us to do. And he definitely has a plan. He has a path. He has a lane for us. He has purpose for us. But I think sometimes we just get settled down in ruts. You know, it's always been this way. I remember God did something great then. Well, let me tell you something. God can do something great now. God can do something. You know what he's going to do great pretty soon anyway? He's going to come back for us, the church. Tell me that's not great. And so there's nothing outside of his birth and giving his life and the resurrection, anything more greater. So there are greater things yet to come in our Christian life. So why are we stuck in the past? Why do we get in this funk? Well, I think sometimes we just get faint. We get faint and we end up in a funk. But let us try to reel and rock our way out of this funk. Not that you're in a funk. I'm just saying that it happens. And we get this way from time to time. And so it's my prayer, and I ask God every day, "Lord, keep the fire burning in me. Keep me moving. Keep me turning over logs. Keep me stirring up stuff like I'm doing in the church, trying to stir stuff up in a good way, of course. And you are stirring stuff up in a good way. And I'm so thankful for you. Brother Justin, I have this idea. Brother Justin, can we do this? Hey, what do you think about this?" That is wonderful. Listen, I was talking to a pastor earlier this week, and he said, "Brother Justin, I can't get my people to do anything. They look at me." He says, "When I preach, I kind of show a lot of emotion, and I preach, and they just look at me." He said, "You know what I'm saying?" And I covered my nose. I kind of got, yeah. I said, "You know, I didn't want to make them feel bad, but I said, actually, I'm blessed at Calvary." I said, "Now, I've been through that before in previous places. Sure enough, I have." I said, "But I'm blessed at Calvary." And I was proud to say that. And he's like, "Well," he said, you better just enjoy what you got." And I didn't say it, but I said, "Well, you ain't got to tell me twice." You know, I don't want to talk about how hard it is at church because I have a group of people who love serving the Lord. And so back to Gideon. Gideon, he was this reluctant leader, but God saw he was a great leader. And thou mighty man of valor, you and I tonight have the potential of doing great things for God, little or big, but they're all great in his sight. But then we see that his job at first, the Lord gave him homework. His first job was homework. Literally, there was work to do at home. This was what I call a little test. It was a little challenge. So the Lord said, "Gideon, I want you to go home. This is your first job." And you do know the Lord starts to work first in the home is where he works. He wants to work. That's where there needs to be work, is in the home. "Gideon, I want you to go home and I want you to tear down thy father's altars of Baal. I want you to tear them down. And I want you to cut down your father's, the groves that are by the altars. I want you to tear down the altars and I want you to cut down the grove. And then he says, I want you to build an altar unto the Lord. And so that's what his first job was, his first test. And so you may find in your Christian life, and I find in my life many times, God says, before you want to go out and be this and be that for me, why don't you start at home? Make sure things are right at home first. Let's do those things. These are the little tests, I call them, or the little challenges. I mean, everybody wants to do big and flashy things at home and get credit and all of that, but behind the scenes, how are things going at home? If anybody needs to see Jesus, it's our family at home. And then once that is accomplished, then it can trickle over to the workplace, to the schoolhouse, and to church. And so that was his homework. And that's what he did. Gideon did that. He went home and he tore down those altars. He cut down the grove and he builded an altar to the Lord. Do you have an altar at home? And what I mean by that is, do you live for the Lord at home? Or is it just a church thing? Do you worship God at home? We're not talking about being perfect. But we're talking about just acknowledging God at home, reading your Bible, praying, and just keeping Him as the main guest every day and every night, as if He was there in person. So we see that Gideon has some homework. That was the little test. Now we're up to the bigger test. Gideon achieved that. Now God said, Gideon, now I want you to go on and I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from the Midianites. What you'll find in your Christian life, God will throw out tests and challenges. And when we accomplish those, then He will create and He will give us more tests and challenges, bigger, so that we can grow more and mature more. The goal is to go from infancy to adulthood, right? That's how it is with a physical body. Same thing spiritually. We are to keep growing. We crawl spiritually. We waddle spiritually. We finally get to walk a little bit spiritually. And then we get ready to run spiritually. And so during this whole process, though, we get faint at times. But it's all about not giving up. It's all about just moving forward. It's all about accomplishing the little things God puts in front of us and go on to the bigger things, hanging in there, staying with it, not giving up, watching God move, and hopefully touching some lives in the process. And so he had a bigger task. Of course, we know Gideon, he doubted God. He doubted God about his father's house. He doubted God about him delivering Israel. Gideon was a doubter. But there was somebody else, a doubter, in the New Testament as well. Thomas was a doubter. Some of us are just wired differently. There's some people like, bless God, praise the Lord, I got the Lord by His hand, and we're moving in, and we're defeating the enemy, and we're overcoming. But some just really have a special need, and they need that extra bit of assurance. You know, when Thomas said that, except I touch his hand and his side and all that, I won't believe him. Jesus showed up just for him to do that. But when Thomas seen him, he said, no need, not necessary. You are the Lord. Jesus shows up and meets us in our intimate personal needs. We're all wired differently. Gideon, are you kidding me? Gideon, he did the work at home. He did his homework. And now he's starting to lead Israel, and he's doubting. Not just some of us are wired differently, but it's only natural to doubt God at times. Because our faith is constantly tried and tested. Our faith that is not tested, is it really faith? It has to be tested. You know, they put that gold in the fire, or however they do that to refine it, and it burns off all the dross and it burns off all the impurities, and then the gold comes forth, and it's almost like a mirror. You can see yourself in it. You know, we have saving faith, but then there's the kind of faith we need to live our life and believe God things for, believe the Lord for things. And so He sends challenges and it challenges our faith. He stretches us, and then over time we grow in our faith. And so we see that he doubted God, and we read about the fleece, and the Lord first of all he told him that he was going to be successful, but then with the fleece he showed him he was going to be successful. And God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to do that with the fleece. I'm thankful to God that he meets me on a personal level. I don't know how you feel about the fleece. Some people are like, well, you ain't supposed to do that. Then other people's like, I'm throwing out the fleece on this. Who cares what anybody says, by the way? It's your relationship in God. In the fleece story, you know it. He wanted to throw it out. Let there be dew outside, the fleece dry. And then on the next day, threw the fleece out. It wet and dry on the outside. And God answered both. I thank the Lord that he knows who I am. He sees my struggles. And he meets me at my needs. And so I never claimed to be a spiritual giant. Nobody thinks that I am. And I don't claim that. I'm a needy creature. I need God. I'm dependent upon him. I can't pastor a church. I can't lead a family. I'm not saying that to sound spiritual. I just have to believe God that he thinks I'm a mighty man. Does that make sense? So it's time that we start believing God when he says, you're a mighty woman of God, Sharon. You're a mighty woman of God, BJ, Miss Marianne, Miss Vicky, and all the rest. It's time to start believing that. Stop dwelling on your mistakes and stop dwelling on the past. And I'm going to stop dwelling on my mistakes and I'm going to stop dwelling on my past. And I'm just going to believe God that there are greater things ahead, and I'm going to put forth my best effort each and every day to be the best version I could possibly be. And that's all God asked. And when he sees that, what? Hassan, you're getting a cookie. Effort! Look, do you think that I'll be mad at Lily if she comes in the house one day and says, Dad, I failed my math test today. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you failed this test. You don't know what in the world you're doing. Do you think I would say that? Knowing that I saw her at the kitchen table all week studying. I saw her struggling. I saw her up all night trying to figure it out, watching videos, getting help from teachers online, getting help from friends. And she says, Dad, I just came home. I'm sorry to tell you, but I failed. And do you think I'd say, I can't believe it. You are such a failure. No. No, 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 I will not. I'll say, that's okay, honey. You'll get there. God tonight is looking at you and saying, that's okay, honey. You'll get there. Talking about the word honey is funny. I use that a lot. Talking to, I don't know, kids. And because I call Lily honey all the time. And I was praying before chapel, and I was actually leaving the men's bathroom, and I called the Lord honey. I said, thank you, honey. I was nervous this morning because it's been a while, and I don't think the Lord's mad at me calling him honey, do you? Thank you, honey. And man, we got to preaching this morning, and God did a great thing. All he wants to see is that his children are enlisted. Listen, you may be faint tonight. Keep going. Keep going. I've said before, even if you have to army crawl, keep going. You know God has provided in the past. You know that you may not be able to smell them, taste them, touch them, feel them now, but you know he's here now because the Bible says he's proved himself in the past. So take all that experience and keep going. Keep going. Gideon was used in a small way. Gideon was used in a big way. And so, in a nutshell, that's the story of Gideon, of who he is. He was this reluctant leader that God used in a mighty way. So I have my small point, my medium point, and here's my large point. the setting of Gideon, the story of Gideon, but then the stability of Gideon. Notice our verse again in chapter number 8, verse 4, Judges. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. We see some stability in this leader, is what we see. I want you to notice it says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Look at verse 5. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. He says, my men are behind me. They are following me. This makes me say tonight that Gideon, of course, we know was the leader, but he was certainly leading the pack. And so he was teaching something here through him not giving up. He was teaching his people stability. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Gideon being the leader of the pack teaches, even in the midst of weariness, weakness, and fatigue, continue. What would have happened if Gideon would have quit? Now I'm not saying that of the 300, every single last one of them would have quit, but there is a good chance at least one would have said, Gideon, I'm going home with you. At least one. So Gideon was influencing at least 300 men in his life. Think about the lives you are influencing by not quitting. Think about it. You want to quit tonight? Think about those that are watching your life. You want to quit tonight and relax spiritually and just stay home? You know, the devil tells me the same stuff. Well, I've got a little one at home. I've got a wife. I've got a church. And I want to tell you, there's times where I do get faint. I'm told not to say that to the people of God, that the preacher gets faint, but I do. And you'll never know the inspiration that you have on my life to continue, Brother Ceylon. I know you come to church hungry for the Word of God. You want an experience with God. And when I say that loosely because it's not all about emotions. God moves in a great way, fine. If He don't move, guess what? He still moves in still small ways. But you come to church day in, week in and week out to get direction in your life, to get encouragement in your life. And so no matter how fatigued I may get, I start thinking about you and I keep going. So thank you for your service to the Lord. Because of you and the grace of God, I just celebrated, me and my family, 6 years as the pastor here. Gideon had men behind him, 300. Verse 5 says they were following him, and he was asking for bread for them. So Gideon is teaching them stability. Teaching them stability. You can be a teacher of stability to those that are watching you, your families, friends. Some people might say in your life, oh, it's just a matter of time. You know, they're on fire for God right now. I can't stand when people say they're on fire for God right now, but they're going to cool down. Only reason why you're saying that is because you've cooled down. Don't cool down. Get fired up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so don't quit. Don't quit. Remember when David was fighting Goliath, and oh my goodness, Goliath was tormenting Israel and just threatening Israel. No man stood. David stood. David killed him by the strength of the Lord. Cut his head off, brought it back. But when David killed Goliath, the Bible says in that chapter that the men of Israel stood up, shouted, and pursued the enemy. It was because of David and his stance with the Lord and not giving up. He could have gave up. I mean, he fought a bear, a lion, what have you. But this was Goliath. And so he just decided that the Lord will supply strength, so I'm going to keep going. And because he kept going, the others got up, shouted, and kept going. Keep going tonight. Keep going like Gideon kept going. As he kept on going with all of his men following him. And so tonight, let others be motivation for you to keep going. Now, Gideon had victories over other enemies in the past, as you know. But now, this was his toughest battle. And his toughest battle wasn't with an outside enemy, but an internal enemy. The toughest battle was himself now. There was this feeling of fatigue. Think about the gear he was wearing and his men were wearing, the armor and the swords and all of that, coming out of recent battles, traveling, being thirsty. They were hungry. They wanted to quit. I mean, at least the Bible semi-implies that they were wanting to quit. It says they were faint. It didn't say they quit. They continued, but they were faint. And what happens when you're faint? You're thinking about quitting, or at least sitting down for a minute. And so he has come face to face as the leader with his biggest competition yet, and that is with himself. If he quits, his men quit. If he quits, his men quit, and then the enemy will besiege the land and totally just encamp in Canaan, and all the people of God will be destroyed. You can't quit tonight. You teach a class. You're good on the phone with calling and checking on people. You do little things, send notes, what have you. Work at the church here doing different things. It may seem like at times it's meaningless and not big. Listen, it don't have to be big. God uses little things. God uses big things. The equality here is that we're putting forth the effort. So we see that there's a challenge against self. Don't quit. Don't fatigue out. Don't faint out. Others are watching you. They're relying on you to keep going. And so we see that the toughest battle yet was with Gideon. He was faint, him and his men, yet pursuing them. So number one, under this title, the stability of Gideon, he was teaching his men about stability. He used his men as a motivator to keep going. As a motivator. He was the leader. He kept going. But number two on that, Gideon and his men were faint and fatigued of what they'd done times past, but passion to accomplish more motivated them. Why were they still pursuing the enemy? Because there was an enemy to be destroyed, to be taken down. They fought the enemy in the past, and that sufficed for then. But because of this enemy now, the people of God don't have no rest. And so they're motivated by their passion. What's your passion tonight in life? What's your passion tonight? Let your passion be your motivation to keep going. You're fatigued, but fall back in love with your passion. Meet with the Lord more so than none, and try to spend more time with Him, because He can ignite that passion. They were faint, they were tired, they were weary, they were hungry, they wanted to quit, but they kept going because their leader was going, but they wanted to keep going because there was still an enemy out there. And there is still an enemy in our world today. There is still a race to run. There are still hurdles in your lane. There may be a hurdle in my lane tomorrow of some kind. What am I going to do? Am I going to cry about it? I've done that before. Am I just going to run up to the hurdle and be like, I can't do it. That'd be true. I can't do it. Or am I going to trust God to get me yet over another hurdle? And so the whole time, though, we're letting passion motivate us. We want to experience more victory in our life. We want more joy to be in the home. We want more joy and peace in our life. And we want to enjoy our salvation. We want to see people saved. We want to see the church modernized a bit more and upgraded. We want to see more people come, and we want to tell people about Jesus and all of that. Let passion motivate you. These men were about dead, but they were still going. I can't remember the story. Brother Berman told it a long time ago. But in essence, he said that there was a battle, and many men were killed, and there was this one man who had been shot, and he was army crawling. And the gist of the story is, you know, this man was going to rescue him and bring him home. He said, no, don't do that. Just give me a gun and let me fight. And that's the story where a lot of us are. Sometimes we've been wounded, and sometimes we've been hurt, and we feel life. We're fatigued, but I don't want to go home yet. I want to be used of God. Lord, just put a spiritual rifle in my hand and I'll shoot from laying down. The Bible talks about being a good soldier for Jesus Christ and enduring hardness. There is a call for certain seasons of life with us to and just straight out endure hardship. It's valley after valley after valley. I've spoke to a few people, and it seems like it's one thing, it's another. With me, it's one. If it ain't one thing, it's another thing. But you know what? We keep going. We endure, don't we? Because God has given us an education. We are being bonded closer together. And there's the call to endure. That very word, endure, sounds hurtful. You know, back in the day when I was in school, the teacher would have chalk and chalkboards. It ain't that way now. You know, if it isn't markers, it's TVs, which is great. But one thing just drove me crazy with them chalkboards, and I feel it right now. I even feel it in my teeth. I don't know. That was so hard to endure that. The chalk slapping up against it, that really didn't bother me. But sometimes, I don't know if it was a kid or children did that or it was a racer or something, but it was, I was like, where you're at right now, some of you? God, I can't take it. Not another day. I can't take it. God says, yes, you can. You're right. You can't take it, but you can through me. This is the season to endure. This is where you earn your stripes, because we're soldiers. And so let motivating others, let faint yet pursuing, let others be motivated by you keep going. Let that be your motivator, by motivating others. But then passion, let your passion motivate you to keep going. Let your passion. But then there's a third motivator here. And that is when God told Gideon, you will win. Turn back to chapter 6 for a moment, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He's about to say what your might is going to be. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I see two things in this verse. He says, this is your might. Number one, I'm going to use you to save Israel. And number two, I've called you to do so. So God says, There is success in your future. I'm going to use you. All you got to do is believe it. And we may be faint tonight. You may be faint tonight. You may feel like you're spinning your wheels tonight. But God says, and God wants to use us. All He wants is effort. And so let that. The Bible says, and He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That tells us that He will continue to use us and work out His plan. Thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. All of the verses you want to read into that. God says that He wants to use us. He will use us. And He certainly has a purpose for us. And when we discover our purpose, it's God sending us. He told Gideon, "You will save Israel. I have sent you. Let that be your might." And so let that be a motivator tonight. Let that motivate us to know that God is in it with us and He is working in our life and He wants to use us. But then there's a fourth thing to be a motivator under this third point, the stability of Gideon. Go back, if you would, to chapter number 8. I want you to look at something in that phrase, in verse number 4, our text verse, our phrase. Faint, really get this, yet pursuing them. Faint, yet pursuing them. Let me ask you a question. When are you most dependent upon God? When you're feeling great or you're feeling faint? We are most dependent upon God when we're feeling faint. You want to know how Gideon continued leading his men? You want to know how them men continued to follow their leader and how they continued to get the victory for their homeland? It's because they recognize their inability. I just talked about the hurdles. I can't jump a hurdle. I mean, physically I could try. But hurdles require energy and strength, and they don't stop. And so the idea is to, in our faintness, to recognize our inability. And I think sometimes the reason why God sends us through long phases of endurance, the phases are long because some of the times He has to remove us from ourselves. It takes a long test for us to recognize, hey, I can't, but God can. There's a particular situation in my life that took every bit of 7 years. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not going to get no detail. It's nothing vile, nothing sinful, nothing like that. It's a personal family thing, a health matter in the past. It took 7 years for me to get peace with this. It took 7 years of praying and 7 years of battling to recognize that there is nothing that I can do to change it. I got to a place of total dependency upon God for this. Do I still think about it at times? And I know y'all probably wondering what it is. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. No, don't. Yes, there's times I think about it, but you know what? There is something that has changed in my heart with that. I know if I dwell on it and think about it, I'll end up in the same shape I was spiritually during that time. Just faint, yet pursuing. And so it changed when the duration of that kept going and going and going. 360 kept going and going and going. And literally one day I woke up and it was like it was a lifted load. It's like, come what may, live or die, God's going to get glorified and I'm going to walk in peace. And so sometimes in life, these endurance tests are teaching us to depend on God. Gideon said that him and his men were faint, hungry, tired, yet pursuing. Gideon continued because of God's power. Let God's power motivate us. It's not time to quit when we get fatigued, but it's time to transfer the load when we get fatigued. No matter how young or old you are, it's not time for you to quit. You're still here. Moses was 80, right? 80 years old. Lived to be 120. It's not time to quit. But it's time to recognize God's power. It's time to recognize God's word. He wants us to continue. It's time to recognize our passion God has given us. Allow that to motivate us. And it's time to recognize there's others watching. And this is what Gideon did. And because of that, he was a stable leader, although he was faint and fatigued. And because of his leadership, the victory was achieved there in Israel. And so tonight, we have the stability of Gideon. We have the story of Gideon. We have the setting of Gideon. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, was just simply faint yet pursuing. Keep going. Galatians 6:9, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season. Do you hear that? There's a due season coming. That is a motivator to keep going. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. God may use you to do something, and He may bring up the crop of someone else. I said it Sunday, I say it again, it is etched in my heart. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. The equality between the two is that they were working. Different jobs, but they were working. And so tonight, keep going. Let's keep going. You ready to keep on going? Say amen. 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 Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would just, we all feel it. We feel it at times. But help us, Lord, to do what we have to do within biblical bounds to refresh and keep going. God, I feel like we're on the edge of something great, the verge of something great. We're around a turn, and I'm anxious to see what's around that bend here at Calvary. God, thank You for the fire. Thank You, Lord, for the enthusiasm. Thank You, Lord, that You have rained on my heart. And it's not just for me to enjoy, but I want Your people to enjoy it. And thank You, Lord, for a church that loves serving You, that I get phone calls throughout the day of, Brother Justin, what do you think about this? Or, Brother Justin, I went to go visit them. Thank You, God, for that. I get calls of church members, well, have you heard from this one? Have you heard from that one? Thank the Lord. Thank You, Lord, for a work in church. God, help us continue to move forward in these last days, and we'll praise You, and we will thank You for it. And we do lift up everybody on our prayer list and everything that everybody's going through. We pray that You would just work mightily in their behalf to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. That's all we have. You're at liberty to go.